You guys hand Heatstroke over to the police, say your farewells to the press, then head back to HQ.
Mr. Kimon, are you going to bring up my phone call with Freeze Frame?
Why would I do that?
Well, it just seems like a matter of team review. I mean, I know I let everybody down, and I just wanted to be clear. It's going to be better.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care about the words. If I see that you're improving, then we'll see improvement. That's all that matters. Bringing this up with Lowry would be like telling Michael. You know, they don't do field operations. What's the point?
Well, I mean, it seems like they would want to know.
I could formally write you up if you want. But I mean, I hate all that corporate bureaucracy. You know, it's not where my mind's at. I've been thinking. And Rudy getting killed, that's a judgment. We earned that.
Sir, I don't...
We didn't take it seriously enough. That's the problem. You know, we said to ourselves that no one's going to be able to kill Captain Momentum, but there's no such thing ever in the history of man as an impenetrable defense. People every day were trying to figure out a way to kill him. So, of course, someone did it eventually. Stupid. We were so stupid.
Well, with all due respect, I don't feel like it's fair for us to blame ourselves or Rudy himself for something that Mercury did.
We don't have control over what Mercury does, Flux. We have control of ourselves. We could have prevented this by just being smarter. And that's what you need to take away today. In the future, don't be stupid.
Yes, sir.
Look, in the past, when things went wrong in the field between Rudy and I, he and I discussed it between us. So I'm going to extend that same courtesy to you.
Thank you, sir.
Once you guys pull back into the garage, you get a phone call down in the office. The receptionist informs you that Michael and Snakeman are waiting upstairs to talk about some kind of contract.
All right, thank you. We'll be right up.
All right, you guys get on the elevator and start heading up.
So how was your first mission, Flux?
He was fine, but flawed, clearly wet behind the ears. I think we need to start implementing the training programs that the rest of the company uses now that we can't lean on Rudy anymore.
Well, Paul, I asked Elvis directly, and you would give a negative testimony of anybody.
I think Mr. Kimon's assessment is fair. I definitely had some issues, but I was good. It was good.
Well, we caught the bad guy, we got the hostages out. Sounds great to me.
Ding! And you're at the top floor. In the meeting room is Michael, and your lawyer, John Snakeman, who is basically just a giant snake in a business suit. Michael says, "Hey, everybody. I saw you guys on the news today. Great work. Especially you, Freeze Frame. I just want to say, you know, everybody's nervous right now, and you are a rock. We are so glad we've got you."
I'd do anything for this company, Michael. You know that.
Even the stuff he's not supposed to do, if you know what I'm saying.
Paul, HR is very tired.
Well, then they should sleep more. But not around, of course. That just give them more work. Anyway, how's it going, Snakeman?
It's going great, Paul. It's good to see you again. And you too, Lowry. And I haven't met the new guy.
This is Elvis. He's a technical guy, got engineering skill, could be useful.
Oh, in this case, it is for sure. He bends down and he picks up a suitcase with his mouth, sets it on the table, opens it with his tail, pulls out a packet of papers, and then hands it to you, Elvis. Those are the technical specs and details on the weapon that killed Rudy.
So we're definitely going along with the NDA. It's been signed and done.
That's right. Full steam ahead. I got everything cleared as quick as I could. Okay, Elvis, just glancing through this packet real quick, it looks like it was some kind of bioweapon. And what stands out immediately is that the ammunition was blood.
Have you guys looked at this? This is some kind of, like, vampire weapon.
Like, what do you mean? It sucked his powers out?
Oh, no, I mean, it runs on blood.
Well, I don't think that makes it a vampire weapon, because I don't know. Is it fair to say vampires are fueled by blood? I would think they're fueled by the power of Satan.
The guy who came by to talk to us about this said that there wouldn't be more ammunition for the weapon. So how does that work, Flux?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got excited. I need to... I'll look at it.
All right, Snakeman says. So the details are, you're not allowed to discuss anything to do with this weapon. If you do, it is treason. However, the military is now fully collaborating with your company with regards to the weapon. So that means that if you need any more details or you want to assist in certain testing, then you can just put a request in with the military and they'll see what they can do.
Well, hold on. If we can do testing, then that means that they're going to produce more of this weapon, right?
I'm not sure. I haven't personally looked at that packet because it's not really a need-to-know thing for me. But meanwhile, Flux, you're looking at this blood thing, and you're not a bioengineer, but it looks like the weapon relies on blood from a specific individual the packet refers to as Luna.
Does the name Luna mean anything to you guys?
What, were you born under a rock?
Well, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar.
Well, you've heard of Luna Island, right?
Yeah, it's the prison for supervillains, right?
Right, and it's named for one of the prisoners. They have a lady named Luna there who projects an aura of power destruction. She's why they can keep everyone in the prison.
Wait, so there's a lady who can just turn off everyone's powers?
A man questioned of a common knowledge fact?
It's not that common of knowledge, Paul. We deal with it all the time, but yes. The reason everyone loses their powers on Luna Island is because of an inmate they keep there named Luna.
I thought the island was just magic or whatever.
Oh yeah, and it's also where Santa lives. You see, all the radiation from the magic reindeer poop interferes with people's superpowers.
In fairness, no one really understands how Luna's powers work, so that's as fine of an explanation as any.
Well, apparently the gun uses her blood for ammunition.
Well, that figures.
Well, it was really just a matter of time, Michael says. The military has been trying to figure out anti-super weapons for generations.
I mean, Luna's not that new of a concept. There have been superheroes who could interfere with others going back for as long as recorded history.
Well, it's a new era. We can build rocket ships and go to the moon now without superheroes, so why not build weapons that can turn off their powers?
Okay, keep reading. Can they synthesize the blood, or do they need to take it directly from Luna?
So far, all attempts at synthesis have failed. They have to draw blood directly from Luna. Can't account for it. Scientists don't know why.
Well, okay, so they have to get the blood directly from this lady. So, unless Mercury can go to Luna Island and get her blood, then whatever ammunition he still has is all he's got.
Unless he's got insiders on Luna Island.
Well, Luna's like their highest security prisoner. Drawing blood from her without raising suspicion would be pretty impossible.
Still, I'm pretty sure the military must be doing an audit there right now, but it wouldn't hurt for us to go look ourselves.
So there's been other people in history who could turn off superpowers?
Yeah, but Luna's ability is unusually sweeping. There's characters in history that could lock away superpowers or diminish them somehow, but most of the time it's just evening the scales. If you go back in time, you can imagine a soldier having the ability to teleport like you do, Elvis, and using that to great effect in battle. Their power got locked away, they're still a soldier. Now all they have to do is kill the offending person who stole their powers the old-fashioned way. There are some old legends. For example, it was said that Vlad the Impaler could steal people's powers. And some people think that's the origin of vampire stories. But there's no proof that he could actually do that.
Well, what if Mercury knows someone with the power-canceling ability, and he uses their blood instead?
Now that's an upsetting hypothetical.
Well, we don't know of any active villains that have that ability right now, do we?
Snakeman says, I can't think of any villains that we know of that could do it, but just because no one has used it to commit crimes doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
So then our investigation has two prongs. The first is to look into Luna Island to make sure that no one has gotten access to Luna. And the second is to try to figure out if anyone has the ability to shut down superpowers besides her.
We might not turn up anything on either of those cases.
Then we get on a different track and we keep moving. It doesn't matter.
I honestly think that it's likely that Mercury is going to appear again. And as soon as he does, we'll grab him.
If it were me, killing Captain Momentum would just be the start of my plans. If all we do is wait around passively to react to his traps, then you're going to be the next one on the news, Lowry.
The phone rings. Michael answers it. He goes, hello? Oh, hold on, let me put it on speaker. It's your receptionist. She says, the police just called. They say Mercury has showed up again.
Oh, that didn't take long. All right, let's get to the garage.
Michael goes, well, hold on a minute. How come it's not an alarm? And your receptionist says, the police say that he showed up, waylaid the car carrying Heatstroke, turned them both into fluids, and then escaped into the sewers. So it's already too late.
Oh.
Yes, the police were just letting you know. They thought you'd like to be aware.
All right, well, thank you. We are now aware.
First good news we've had all day.
How is this good news, Paul?
Because if you want to plant the seeds of your own destruction, take an idiot like Heatstroke into your fold. I don't know why Mercury rescued him or what he plans to do with him, but if he's gonna keep him, he's got himself a problem now.
He has a man who can create a flash fire by clapping his hands together. The whole city has a problem.
Well, at any rate, Mercury has emerged and then resubmerged all within minutes. I think we can safely say that we're not going to catch him until he's ready, and we shouldn't underestimate him whatever he does.
Well, if you've got a more proactive way to catch him yesterday, I'd like to know it.
I'll let you know when I've got that plan, but for now, Snakeman, can you get us onto Luna Island, like, soon?
I'll see if I can get something set up for tomorrow.
Great. Oh, and hey, while you're here, did you know that Michael keeps telling me not to refer to you as our Jewish snake lawyer?
Oh, well, I mean, as your Jewish snake lawyer, I can confirm I can't get you on libel for that one, so you're safe.
See, Michael, I even cleared it with our lawyer.
Come on, Michael says. The broader issue is that we have other employees who might be Jewish or, well, we don't have any snake people, but we do have other lawyers. Snakeman says, it's fine with me, though. For what it's worth, it doesn't bother me. It's just the truth.
Oh, but, is it okay if I ask, if you're a snake and Jewish, how come you chose to be a lawyer?
Oh, well, I'm not just a snake. I also have an eidetic memory, which means that I have perfect recollection of anything that I see. In my youth, I felt that it would be a waste of that talent to not go into something professional, and law was what I chose. Since becoming a lawyer, I've memorized basically every law, statute, and precedent in the books, both in the U.S. and internationally. I mean, I only have to see it one time, and I remember it forever. Aside from that, I really like working with people. I enjoy the relationships that I've built with clients and judges and other lawyers. I'm proud to say that I am a super lawyer, in more than one definition of the term. I am also a snake, and I am also Jewish, and I understand how it looks when you put all those three together. But with everything I get out of this job, and as good as I feel about it, you know, it's not that big of a deal, and to be honest, I kind of laugh about it too.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, no, feel free to joke. You know, when I met my wife, that was how I introduced myself, as I am a Jewish snake lawyer.
See, Snakeman is a great guy.
You're married?
I have a good sense of humor. Women love a good sense of humor.
Oh, wow.
I have kids too, if you want to see. Here, I've got pictures. Okay, so this is Nathan. He's actually 7 right now.
Oh!
Now, you're probably noticing he's not a snake. They're not born snakes. I'm actually the only snake in my family. I have a brother. He's not a snake.
Oh, okay.
Nature deals it weird. I don't know. What can I say?
Okay, well, if that's it for business, thanks again, Snakeman. You really are the best. I got some stuff I gotta take care of.
Why, Kimon, where do you have to be?
I'm an old man, Lowry. I have to poop.
For the rest of the day?
What part of old man don't you understand? Look, I'm on call. Just call me if you need me.
All right, Paul leaves. Elvis, Snakeman will tell you everything there is to know about his family and about being a lawyer if you don't stop him.
Well, in that case, I have no idea how to ask him to stop, so this becomes my life for the next couple of hours.
Well, okay. All things considered, Snakeman is actually a really friendly guy, and you learn a lot about him and his life. But with you all tied up, Paul, what are you going to do?
Okay, I'm gonna go downtown, then get all dressed up. Put on a fake fat suit, put on some fake hair so I got that cul-de-sac look. Then I'm gonna go visit my old friend Nicholas.
All right, you head downtown, you go to an apartment complex, you go up to the third floor, you knock on the door, and a gruff-looking Slavic guy answers.
Hey, Nicholas! Come here, give me a hug! It's your uncle Vasily!
He goes, Oh, Vasily, you always drop in unannounced.
Of course, we're family. Why would I have to call you first or something? Come on, are you busy? Let's go out and get lunch.
It's 3 p.m., Vasily.
Well, we get dinner then, okay? It's my treat. We get drinks as well.
Okay, all right. Let me get my jacket. He gets his jacket, you guys go out.
Okay, pick out a nice, inconspicuous diner somewhere. Have him sit us down. So, Nicholas, how's business?
Eat slow, Paul. You know, as always. The waitress comes up and she goes, Hi, welcome to Big Dipper. Have you been to our restaurant before?
No, it's my first time.
Okay, well, if you're looking for appetizers, our house soup of the day is really good. Would you guys like drinks?
You know what, darling? One look at your beautiful face is refreshment enough for a lifetime. You know, this guy is single if you're interested.
No, thanks. I have a boyfriend.
Better luck next time, then. Okay, I'll have a Jack, and how about you?
I guess I'll have a mojito.
Okay, a mojito.
Okay, one Jack and one mojito. Could I see your IDs?
Oh, come on, look at these gray hair, the bald cul-de-sac. Are you kidding me?
Okay, I just like to make sure, but you guys look old enough. All right, one Jack and one mojito. I'll be back in a little bit. After she leaves, Nicholas leans down, and he goes, So what's next for the great Kimon?
Honestly, right now, we're looking for Mercury.
For what, Unstoppable Industries? Still? What's the point now?
Look.
No, you look. When I followed you, no, when all of us followed you, you were promising a new world.
Look, Nicholas, I can't go back to that. Everybody's watching me.
That's because we're hoping you'll start again.
No, I mean the police, the FBI, the military, probably.
That never stopped you before.
Look, I'm not saying no. But you know what I used to say? You wait until the iron is hot before you strike people with it.
Because that's the best way to leave a mark. Yeah, I know I quote that sometimes. And if someone recognizes it, they say, Oh, you served with Kimon.
Look, rebuilding the empire is not why I'm here.
But why? Now's the time, Kimon. The people need you.
And I am still here, and I am assessing the situation. But right now, what I need to know is if the Fabricator is working on any kind of secret layer involving biosynthesis and that type of technology. Look, remember when you helped us stop that plan to turn the entire city into wolves?
Yes, I remember, the werewolf.
Well, look, there's not going to be a city to save if we have idiots and wackos running around turning people into animals or clowns or whatever.
Okay. We've got something.
Mostly built or already done?
Almost complete, but it's kind of a cheap job.
I mean, I'd be terrified if it wasn't.
Nicholas writes down an address and slides it to you. It's downtown.
What gives with the location? Is it underground or something?
No, I told you it's a cheap operation. They've rented out an office block, and they're saying it's an R&D company.
All right. Okay, that's not too stupid. If anyone poked around, it'd make sense for them to have the equipment they do.
Yes, however, you're going to find that the machine guns hidden inside the walls are technically not up to code.
You know, that's an OSHA hazard right there. Are those things automated, or are they manually controlled somewhere?
You know, the fabricator doesn't like the automated ones. They never work.
No. Did I ever tell you about Commander Banzai? Gosh, we found him shot dead by his own turret system.
Yeah, exactly. Manually operated systems are safer, smarter, cheaper.
So, all right, is there anything else we need to be aware of?
They have security cameras and motion detectors. The motion detectors will trip an alarm.
All right, motion detectors are going to be a real pain. We're going to have to be a lot more clever.
Timon, I know you don't like to be pressed, but Fabricator has said that he would be willing to build for you again if you came back.
Nicholas, don't go to him asking things like that. He's going to think you're working for me or still tied to me somehow.
Okay, no, with all due respect, Fabricator is a genius, and he recognizes genius when he sees it. He knows I worked for you. He understands what I was working towards.
Still, Nicholas, you need to be careful. Shrewd men can do all kinds of things you might not expect. And look, you're one of the last guys I still have. I'd be out there today, in the streets, right now, if not for that whole debacle with the Flying Fortress. I lost so many good men. We move fast and with purpose, and boldness is a virtue. But if I learned anything from that whole mess, it's that we gotta have our feet firmly on the ground. That said, just to double check, you got your go bag, your plan to leave, you know where you're going. You don't have to stop to tell me you're leaving if you need to run.
Yeah, I've got my exits all figured out. But it's fine right now and everything is fine.
All right, good.
But you know, if you have your feet too firmly in the ground, you're rooted.
That's also true.
The waitress comes back and she goes, okay, I've got your drinks. Now are you ready to order? Okay, Paul, unless you got anything else that you need to ask Nicholas, then you guys catch up, get through the odds and ends. And if you've got nowhere else to be, you head back to HQ.